Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, we're in March now, March the 1st. Tuesday, March the 1st. My goodness, already in the third month of this year. My, where does time go? But we're glad to be able to come to your place of listening over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. We appreciate those of you that tune in at 89.9 FM in Madisonville, 89.3 in McKenzie, Tennessee, and 96.3 in Paris, Tennessee, as well as those that listen over the internet at WSOF.org. We're so glad and grateful that you're tuned in and listening to the broadcast today. As I make these introductory announcements and make these mentions, let me remind you that we do have these broadcasts in podcast form on our website there at WSOF.org, that you're welcome to go to those and you can download those and listen to them at your convenience, and hopefully that will be a blessing and a help. And I appreciate those of you that tune in every day, just listening right over the radio, and I get to thinking about it. Sometimes we get calls. I know of a number of ladies in particular, and there's some men that are elderly and are shut in. Sometimes they're handicapped, and that causes them to be shut in. It does not have to be age and elderliness, but just infirmities of the body that causes the people not to be able to go to the house of God like they would long to. And because they can't get out, and many times very few people come to them, the only encouragement and church service, if I could say it that way, that they have is over the radio. Now, we're not here to take the place of anybody's church, and I'm not calling this your radio church, but it is a time we can come together and worship the Lord, and we can have just like a little service right here together, and that's what I try to make every one of these programs. I don't want it just to be just me making statements. I don't want it just to be just me advertising for our ministry or our church here. Oh, no. I want it to be a service, a little service where we can come together, and we can enjoy the singing. Maybe we're not singing together, but we're enjoying the singing. And we can also pray together. That's something we can do together. And then we can gather around the Word of God, and we can have the preaching of the Word of God and be instructed, and we can be encouraged in the things of God. And so I'm thinking about those that are not able to get out and go, and what an important position that this broadcast and this station has with the opportunity to get the gospel into your home and into your place of listening. Then I also think about those people that are just driving up and down the road, and you're busy about a lot of things, and whether or not you've got your mind on spiritual things, your radio is tuned to WSOF or WAJJ, and what a privilege to be able to minister to you in your busyness and in your daily routine, to be able to minister to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus and the power of the Word of God and the power of prayer. What a blessing and what an honor. And I want to pray that this broadcast go forth and accomplish the work God has sent it to do. I pray often that God would let the good seed go forth, and that it might find some good soil, that it might be buried in the good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to His praise forever. Amen. Also, I want to pray for those that are afflicted. I do want to pray that God would touch their body and ease their suffering, and that God would just draw nigh up close by them and help them through these days and these hours. And also, I'd like to make this opportunity that if you are able to get out and go, come and be with us in our midweek service on tomorrow night, Wednesday. That'll be March the 2nd. We'll be having regular prayer meeting service right here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. And we would sincerely love to have you come and be part of our services and worship and fellowship with us here around the Word of God. I'd love to see you in our number and make your acquaintance if we've not met before. It sure would be a real blessing. We're easily located right off of the Penny Row Parkway. We're exit number 44, the old exit 44, Penny Row Parkway. They're making that now the new Interstate 69, and they're calling it exit number 116. Is going to be the new exit number right now. This time, we still have both of those signs up, so you can see that. And when you take that exit, if you're traveling north, then you would turn to the right at the end of the exit ramp, and you'll find us here on the left, about a quarter of a mile. If you were traveling south, then, of course, you'd exit on the right, but at the end of the exit ramp, you'd turn to the left, and you'd find us out here on the left. Again, just a little over a quarter of a mile, and you'll find us here. We're 1415 Island Ford Road in Madisonville, Kentucky. And again, we'd love to make your acquaintance and love to have you with us in the services on this Wednesday night or Lord's Day next Sunday. We'd love to have you with us here as well. All right. We're going to get ready to go to the Lord in prayer. As I said, prayer time around the radio mic. And if you can pray with us, we are praying that God touch and help different ones. My granddaughters are doing well. We're grateful for that. And I've had some different ones ask me about it. I didn't make the announcement yesterday, but Aria told us on Saturday that she's taking her last dose of medicine. She was excited about it. And Laura only had one more dose, she said, to take. And Aria said it makes her feel better, but it sure tastes yucky. That's her words. But I'm glad that she's better, and we're giving God glory and honor. And we're enjoying our time of fellowship with our in-laws, as my mother-in-law and father-in-law came in and spending a few days with us. They're going to be with us through Wednesday night. They're going to be leaving out on Thursday sometime, headed back to North Carolina, and the good people there at Vision Baptist Church, where Brother Joel Gray is the pastor. And so they'll be gathering back in with them. And so I want you to pray for them, and I pray that God would give them safety and be with them and help them through these days and through this time as well. And then we've had some sick in the church. We've had some colds and sicknesses. Brother Robert Vincent has spent a night in the hospital and having chest pains and such as that. And understand that he's going to have a stress test today. They're looking at some things they're going to probably do. And like for you to keep him in your prayers as well. They did let him go home last night. But he needs our prayers with the pain and the problems that he's having. And then others, as I said, with colds and flus and different problems that we're praying that God touch and help them. We're certainly praying for lost loved ones. And we're praying that God would help them. We also had a visitor this past Sunday. Tyler came and visited with us, and he's joined the Marines, getting ready to go into the Marines. So we want to pray for him, that God would give him safety and protection. And that brings us to remember also Ricky Vincent. We were praying for him. He's in the Marines and graduated sometime last year. And so he's in his first year in the Marine Corps. And he needs our prayers. I want you to keep him in prayer that God protect and help him there on the East Coast where he's serving there in the services of our armed forces. So if you would, pray for him in this time as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful and thankful to be able to come to the throne of grace and carry our troubles and our burdens and our desires, our worries, our cares, our infirmities unto Thee. Lord, I'm grateful that the Apostle Peter told us that we can cast all of our cares upon Thee because You care for us. Lord, we're so grateful for Your tender, Your mercies, Your care unto us. Lord, we're so grateful for Your love that You bestow upon us and that Your mercies are new each morning. Father, as we come to the throne of grace with these problems and these situations, Father, I do pray for Brother Robert that You'd touch him and his body. Lord, that You'd strengthen and help and meet the need that's there. Father, I pray that You would help those that have been sick, that's got colds and flu and different problems there. Those that have had vehicle problems, has not been able to be with us. Lord, I pray that You would intervene in that and put those things together according to Your will as well, that folks be able to be with us on our Wednesday night service. Father, I pray You'd bless in that upcoming service, that You would guide and direct, and that the presence and the power of the Lord might be manifest in our services. Father, I pray that it might be manifest right here over this radio broadcast and this time of meeting together with the saints around the radio mic. Father, I pray that, dear God, that the Spirit of God might move, that You might arrest some sinner, that they might recognize their great need and their time's running out, that they might recognize the desperation and the drastic case that they are in and how they certainly need to call on the Lord and they need deliverance from the mighty hand of God. And Father, I pray that You would bring them that deliverance and bring them to that place of faith and repentance, and that they might repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, be washed in the precious blood. Father, I pray for the saints that You would encourage them in the Lord. Help us, dear God, to live holy, righteously, and godly in this present world. Father, I pray You'd help us that we would cleanse our life, that we'd cleanse ourselves from these impurities of this life and from the wickedness and the evil that permeates our days and our world. And Father, You'd help us that we'd be holy and righteous before the Lord, that we'd live for Thee, and dear God, that we would glorify Thee. Father, I pray, help us the message we're looking at, that we might have that godly characteristic that would show forth godliness in this world, that we might be the leader that would lead somebody in the right direction. direction and absolutely not lead them in the wrong direction. And Father, that we would obey you. Lord, I do pray that you'd help these special needs that I mentioned. Help my mother-in-law and father-in-law and Holly June as they travel back to North Carolina in a couple of days. Be with them. Lord, help us in our days that we have here and our time to have good fellowship. And Father, that we might have sweet fellowship and you'd get the glory. Then Lord, I pray that you might help, Lord, about the special request that we've been praying about, this unspoken request that you know about. Father, I pray that you'd put it together according to thy will, that thy work be done and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray that you'd help us about our land that we're praying about and trying to see, Lord, if you'd give us something and allow us to be able to have our presence known, a place there in McKenzie and Paris, Tennessee, in that area that we could broadcast from, and Lord, that we'd have our own place and not be renting and not be having expenses that just continually go up and up and up, and problems that we've had with that. But Lord, would you take care of it? You know the need. It's a major, major thing, but Lord, you're able, and I'm glad, God, you're able, as I said earlier, to do it seem abundantly above all we ask or think. You're not only able to do what we ask, you're not only able to do what we think, but you can do more. And so, Father, we're leaving it in your hands and trusting you. Now, Father, I pray that you take this broadcast and put it together according to thy will, that you'd get the glory and the honor. We ask it in the lovely name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to be looking again at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, and at Titus chapter 1, verse 7. Same text that we looked at yesterday. We'll be back looking at that again here in just a moment. While you find your place, we'll listen to this song by our family that I trust will be a blessing to your heart. Well, amen. I trust that song was a blessing to your heart. And I thought, you know, we're complaining about the rain maybe, and maybe a little bit of complaining about the cloudy day that we're living in. But Lord, we need the rain from heaven. We need that former and the latter rain, that revival that you talk about in the Word of God. And as our children sang there, Lord, I'll have to say, Lord, please send the rain. Please send the rain. Our nation needs your help. And Father, I pray you would send the rain. We're looking in the Bible, as we said, in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And verse number 3, the Bible says, not given to wine. That's the phrase we're looking at today. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Titus chapter 1, verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. Well, I'm preaching along the lines about the fact that we're needing godly leadership. I realize that today, this date is when we're having what's called Super Tuesday, when they're voting across our country, about 11 or 12 different states is going to be having their primary vote to see who they want to represent them in for their party as the president, to run for the president of the United States of America. And I look across the line and I say, my goodness, if this is the best we've got for leadership, our country is in a mess. And you'd have to say amen. We're definitely in a mess. When we look at the front runners on either party, and I'm not politicking, but in either party, we got a mess in front of us. But then when I look back down the road, I look at what's running our cities, what's running our counties and our states, and even what's in charge of our churches, and what's in charge of many of the families, I say, oh, Lord, it's no wonder we're in such a mess in Washington. We're in such a mess right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. We're in such a mess right here in our own backyard, as they say. God help us. Amen. So we need some good, godly leadership. Well, Paul left Titus at Crete to find and install some bishops into every church, he said, that would be godly leaders. And he gave them some characteristics as what to look for. He did the same thing with Timothy at Ephesus. And he gave him the characteristics to look for. And these are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. And as I combined these characteristics together, I found out there's a total of 20 when you put them together. And we've been looking at the characteristics that we're looking for. And by the way, I'm not just using this as a pastor, because he mentions bishops, but he also mentions deacons, and he also mentions widows. And so I can see that he's got godly characteristics that he wants for anybody that's a leader. You may not be leading a church. You may just be leading a home. You may be a dad. You may be a mother leading some little children by the hand. Amen. You might be a church member that you don't have a position of leadership, so to speak, but there's somebody watching you, and every time you miss, they recognize it. Every time you sing in the glory or shout in the glory or testify in the Spirit, they notice that as well. So, friend, I'm saying you're leading somebody. Amen. But I've been looking at these characteristics, and we've looked at eight already. We're on the ninth. Let me run over them real quickly. We said, first of all, we need spiritual maturity. And then, secondly, we need a good reputation. Thirdly, we need moral purity. Fourth, we need vigilance, just meaning keeping your eyes open. Fifth, we need prudence. That's wisdom in action. Sixth, we need to be respectable. Seventh, we need to be hospitable. And eighth, we need to be apt to teach. Now we're looking at number nine. He said that we must be not addicted to wine or substances. That's the way we phrase it. He said not given to wine. We find that two times. Same exact wording in each of these. Not given to wine. Not given to wine. Now, drunkenness is a sin. We looked at that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 starts off, and I know it's talking about being filled with the Spirit, but it starts off with these words, and be not drunk with wine. If you just take those five words, that'd be a good motto for you to have. Be not drunk with wine. Amen. I've said it again and again and again that there was a time when every preacher across the country stood against alcohol, against the drinking of alcohol, the selling of alcohol. Amen. It's even in our church covenants. Most churches have that covenant that when you join, you say that I'm going to abstain from alcoholic beverages, or we say intoxicating beverages, and you may even say destructive drugs of any kind. Amen. And we need to stay away from those things that intoxicate and stay away from those things that would inebriate and bring us to a place that would be a shame and a disgrace. Amen. Amen. Well, we not only need to stay away from it and partaking of it, we don't need to be giving it out. We don't need to be sacking it in people's sacks. We don't need to be handing it to them across the counter. Say amen right there. That is right. As a good Christian, we ought to abstain from those places and those things. Amen. Now, I went through the scriptures yesterday, and I preached to you a little bit about that drunkenness is a sin, and actually on Friday as well, and dealt with it pretty good, with the fact that we need to stay away from that. But I ended up with this thing, not only talking about the preacher standing against it, but I said if our elected officials were really interested in doing public good, they would stand against alcohol instead of supporting it. Matter of fact, one of the reasons why many of them support it is because they abuse it themselves. Amen. I want to tell you that alcohol has always been a public nuisance. It has never been a betterment to society. People say, well, it'll help us bring in better restaurants. No, it does not. It brings in worse restaurants, and it brings in worse behavior and more expenses. Amen. It always does. But I don't have time to deal with that today like that I've dealt with it in the days gone by. But let me just go with this next point. Not only should we see from this that we should that drunkenness is a sin, but I want to look at the phrase not given to wine. In both of our texts, this phrase not given to wine is used. But in 1 Timothy 3:3, it follows shortly after what is said in 1 Timothy 3:2, where it says that man's to be given to hospitality. So we see the godly leader is to be one who is given to hospitality, but one who is not given to wine. That means the godly leader is one who is commonly found using hospitality. But he is one who is not found commonly using alcohol or strong drink or drugs. Amen. It's also interesting to me that Paul's letter to Titus about this same qualification uses the phrase a lover of hospitality and then says not given to wine. I wonder, and if we could not deduce, that Titus understood that this godly leader that he was to look for and search for would not be a lover of wine. Amen. Now, we can look at this phrase, not given to wine, as saying that the godly leader should not be controlled by wine or other intoxicating beverages or drugs. Certainly, God wants His people to have clear minds. He talks about being sober, and that does not just mean soberness from alcohol, but it means clear thinking. Amen. We need to have clear minds. God does not want us going around with our mind clouded by other substances. Amen. Christians should have a soberness that causes them to be able to discern right from wrong. I'm afraid too many people in our society have their minds clouded and damaged by alcohol and drugs to the point that they cannot no longer discern right from wrong. Amen. Friend, He said we need to be not given to wine. Let me give you my third thing. We need to keep a good testimony. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, you knew I'd throw it in. He said, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, there are those who argue that the Bible preaches against drunkenness, but not against controlled drinking. To me, that's akin to saying that people could participate in a little fornication or adultery, just so long as they don't overdo it. Friend, that's preposterous. Maybe somebody might say, well, it's all right to kill a few people, so long as you don't get carried away and kill too many people. Friend, again, I say that's preposterous. You're not to kill one. You're not to commit adultery one time. You're not to start drinking alcohol. Amen. Now, I do realize that the Bible ranks drunkenness right alongside of gluttony. And most people assume that to be overeaten. However, if you look the word glutton up, it's Strong's number 2151, and it means to shake as the wind, that is to quake, figuratively to be loose morally, worthless, or prodigal. That's a quote right out of the Strong's Concordance. This word does not just mean one who does not control his appetite, but rather it is one who is out of control in several areas of morals. He does not control his appetite, not just for food, for other things. That's what a glutton is. So my point for pointing this out is to show that God's not just speaking about an appetite for food, nor just an appetite for drink. But he's showing us that drunkenness is closely aligned with those who have many other moral faults. I believe that Christians should avoid liquor stores. They should avoid bars. They should avoid hangouts where drunkards hang around. Amen. Why? Because the appearance of these places puts a stain on their testimony. When someone sees a person who professes to be a Christian coming out of a liquor store or a bar, they immediately equate that as sin and hypocrisy. When you are a good leader, you're leading someone who probably does not have the same convictions, standards, and resistance that you do. Therefore, a godly leader should lead their followers away from liquor stores, bars, nightclubs, strip joints, drug houses, porn parlors, on down the line. You ought to lead them away from those, not into them. Well, I'm out of time, but I appreciate you listening.